Why did Jesus have to die?
So we got the answer.
Why did he have to die?
That's right.
This season of the season of Lent that we just finished 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks already, wow.
Was a time of preparation. A time to pray, a time to fast, a time to give alms. To not to deny ourselves.
Deny ourselves, that's right.
Why? To break our earthly bonds.
Yes.
You know those things that we gave up during Lent? All those things are what hold us down, right? It's kind of hard to reach for heaven when you're holding onto the ground, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's why that's why we gave up all those things during Lent. And to remind us, yes, to deny these little simple things, whether it was chocolate or television or the computer or whatever it may have been.
Yeah. That's right.
So to remind us, yes, that there is something greater that we need to be reaching for. But that was during Lent. I like to ask a lot of questions, as you see. I just want to make sure you were paying attention to in Sister's religious education class. I see her looking around right now. Now we are in the season of Easter. And what we celebrate is His resurrection from the dead.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But again, why did He have to die? I mean, after all, He is the Word made flesh, the God-man.
Yeah.
Born of the Virgin, and because He is God.
Yes.
He can rise from the dead.
Yes, sir.
So why must He die? You know, that's we have heroes in our lives, right?
Yes.
Something we want to, it's people that we look up to, we admire, we strive after, we want to be like them. Well, guess what? Jesus gives us the example of perfection.
That's right.
What it means to live humanity to its fullness.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus shows us what it means.
Yes.
To live humanity to its perfection. After all, we are made in His image and likeness. So if we want to be like Him, we have to have an example. We have to suffer. And we have to die like Christ so that we can share in His eternity. Christ dies to defeat death.
Yes.
Sounds like a contradiction, right?
Yes.
How can death defeat death? Well, He died a physical death so that we may have spiritual life. Could you read this? Spiritual life can grow so that we can open the gates of heaven with His ascension. Now, all of us will experience a physical death. That is certain. But another certainty is that when we experience a spiritual death, we will lose the salvation that was won for us. When we sin, Satan wins. Here's the great news. Here's the awesome news. Here is the absolute truth.
Yes.
He will forgive our sins.
Yes, He will.
Guess what? We only need to ask. We only need to ask just to reach out.
Yes.
That's the son. It's sometimes it's built in upon us, that sin of pride. I don't need anybody's help, right? You know what you say? I don't need anybody's help. God, I don't need your help. I can do this all on my own. You know what He says? Guess what? Okay. I'm here if you need me. Humility says I can do it all myself. All of a sudden you're turning in on yourself, you start building that wall around you. Guess what? Love can't penetrate.
That's right.
God's grace can't penetrate. When we reach out in a sign of humility, you know what? He reaches out and says, yes, I do forgive your sins. I remember back in seminary. It wasn't that long ago, by the way. I've only been a priest 2.5 years. Oh yeah, I'm an old guy. Got a little bit of gray hair. I remember our sacraments professor in the second year, he made us memorize the definition of a sacrament according to the catechism, and then during an oral exam we had to read that back to him. And the catechism, the Catholic Church defines the sacraments as efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ, by which divine life is dispensed to us. The sacraments right now are meant to give us a share of divine life right now in our earthly existence, so that we can be with Him in the next. Imagine that. We receive a share of divine life now. Eucharist. We come to this table. We receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ to give us strength, right? So what other sacraments can we receive more than once? Sister is watching now. Eucharist, reconciliation, extreme unction, anointing of the sick. My question is, why would you not want to have it as often as you can?
Come on now.
The second part of that definition of a sacrament is they bear fruit in those who receive them with the required dispositions, right? Sometimes I ask in the confessional, are you sorry for your sins? And they say, oh, yes, Father, I'm sorry. No one has ever said no. Because my reaction would be then, what are you here for? You know that any relationship that you have, you know this, you got to work with the other person. Same thing with God. You got to work with God. You want your sins forgiven, you got to be sorry for your sins. They bear fruits. They're grace for those who receive them with the required dispositions. And there is always the excuse, it's like, oh, Father, I can't go to confession. It's been 30 years, it's been 40 years. I've done such horrible things. God will never forgive me. Don't underestimate the power of God. Don't underestimate it. Acts of the Apostles tells us, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. So I have to ask the question, if we have long lines for communion, why don't we have long lines for confession? Well, I know part of the answer to that. I grew up, like I was saying, I'm 40-ish, soon to be 50-ish. For those that were in the same generation, I grew up in a Lithuanian parish on the east side of Cleveland run by Jesuits, and I remember when, sister, taught us how to go to confession and everything else, okay, and of course, we never saw the priest, anything else, either these old guys who spoke foreign languages, and, Latin, Lithuanian, they could barely speak English, right? And you go into the booth, right? And you kneel down, the lights go out, and all of a sudden, bang, the door slams open. And there's a guy with bad breath. What? I'm quite sure that all of us in that generation were traumatized by the experience of that confessional. And that's why I think people are scared. You can pay hundreds of dollars an hour for a psychiatrist or psychologist, or go on television to, talk show hosts. You can come and experience God for free, and guess what? He listens and he forgives you of your sins. I had a similar experience. I didn't go to confession for a very long time. I fell away from the church. It wasn't until I landed here in Washington, D.C. I used to be an Army officer. My last assignment was working for a Defense Intelligence Agency downtown. I left the church, went in the civilian sector, started going to church again. It was at St. Peter's in Waldorf, is my home parish, actually, so I'm familiar with a little bit of Southern Maryland. Started going to church. Came to the realization that really is Jesus up there, Got involved in Knights of Columbus, doing all these other things, and finally I said, I better make my peace with God. I got to go to confession. I know this is going to hurt. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 30 years since my last confession. Now imagine that. That's the power of God.
Yes. That's right.
And I'm still a young priest.
Yes.
I am priest now.
Yes.
That's the power of God. Amazing things can happen.
Yes.
When we return to Him. I've got a sign hanging in my office. It says, I didn't call them the 10 suggestions. God.
That's right, come on.
These are rules for life to set us free, to free us from death, free us from the power of Satan. That's why He gave those commandments to Moses, to Israel, to set them free. These are very real. We have to respect God in His name. You gotta go to Mass. You gotta respect your elders and those in legitimate authority. Stop hating, start forgiving. No intimate relationships with outside of marriage. Jealousy, covetousness, stealing. You know, everyone's gonna look at those and think, oh yeah, the church is a bunch of rules, a bunch of thou shalt nots, right? If you're thinking that, you really need to reevaluate your relationship with Jesus. St. John just told us, those who say, I know Him, but do not keep His commandments, are liars. They're lying. God knows what's best for us. Parents, I know there are parents out there. I see a lot of children out there. You know what's best for your children. You know, you tell them not to touch the stove, to look both ways before crossing the street, how to tie their shoes, and all that kind of stuff, right? Your perspective over them is much bigger than that they have. Same thing with us. God knows what's good for us, and He's not going to lead us down the wrong path. When we follow what He has set out for us, that is what sets us free. That's what sets us free. St. John tells us we have an advocate. Christ is our advocate. He brings the commandments to completion. He brings them to perfection. Perfection in Himself. And He sums it up in the greatest commandments. Love your God and love your neighbor. And when we blatantly disregard what Christ taught us, what the church continues to teach, we turn our back on God. Now here's our common flaw. We're all human. That's the one thing we share. We make mistakes. That's why He died for us. To rescue us from our frailty. We're going to make mistakes. But when we reach out to Him in humility and say, God, I need Your help. He reaches out and says, yes. I'm here to forgive. But there's one thing we can't forget, though. The cross. It is necessary for our salvation. Without the cross, no salvation. No one ever said life was going to be easy. But with Jesus' help, that path has already been cleared for us. And so now, our Mass continues. Together, we will offer the perfect sacrifice, the Son to the Father. Why? For our salvation, so that our sins can be forgiven, that we may have a taste of divine life now, and help us on our journey.